I have known my friend Barb for a long time. We met when I moved to Ithaca many years ago. She was doing her ministerial internship in our UU congregation. We slowly developed a strong friendship. Since that time, however, she has been a UU minister and then a UCC minister, and finally she settled on being a Lutheran minister, and she serves a tiny little Lutheran church in Spencer, New York. We have been, through the years, we have spent hours talking theology. We have helped organize interfaith events, and at one point we were going to start our own church. The one character trait about Barb that I love the most is that she doesn't know she can't do something, so she does it anyway. She is a force to be reckoned with, and I ride on her coattails. In the summer of 2018, she called me and said she's going to be starting an interfaith center. And I said, okay. She said, I've already rented the space. Come and look at it with me. So we spent some time dreaming, and she gave me a key to the rental space, which I still need to return, and told me I could go there anytime and dream even without her, if I wanted. We went to the space several times to imagine what it could become. One day, as we were wandering around the space, she said to me, you know what I'm thinking about doing? And from Barb, that could mean anything. I'm thinking of fostering a couple of refugee youth from Afghanistan. Barb is a single mom. She had fostered, then adopted, two boys as a single woman. Her oldest was grown with his own family, and her youngest was a junior in high school. She has, through the years, taken in all manner of waifs and strays, both human and animal, that have needed either temporary housing or longer-term housing, so this was not out of character for her. And she was doing her doctorate and working on her dissertation, and incidentally starting an interfaith center. And within 2 weeks, she had two 16-year-old Afghan youth living with her and her teenage son. That is Barb. The number of migrants and refugees is growing worldwide. People have always been migratory. Sekuta Mehta writes in his book, This Land is Our Land, in recent years, as of the legacies of colonialism, inequality, war, and climate change, have made it close to impossible for people in poor countries to live a decent life, we've become a planet on the move. By mid-century, migration will account for 72% of the population growth of the U.S., and up to 78% in Australia and the UK. This is changing elections, culture, cities, everything. Mass migration is the defining human phenomenon of the 21st century. Never before has there been so much human movement. And never before has there been so much organized resistance to it. The theme of this month is belonging. Two of the questions in the Soul Matters packet struck me. Who is sitting just outside your circle that needs to be welcomed in? And have you ever had to sacrifice belonging for integrity? Why these questions? Because the flip side of belonging is also how, once we belong, do we invite other people in to our belonging? Does belonging invite us to exclusivity or inclusivity? Do we long to belong to places and spaces in which other people are deliberately excluded? Who stands outside our spaces? Who is not welcome and why? And how do we make our places in which we feel a sense of belonging open and welcoming to others? I am very drawn to monastic traditions. I think I was probably a monk in a previous life. The tradition that I'm most attracted to is the Benedictine tradition, because one of the tenets of Benedictine rule is radical hospitality. In their book, Radical Hospitality, Benedictines Daniel Homan and Lonnie Collins Pratt explore what it means, hospitality, to contemporary society. They write, "The stranger next door and at our door is particularly frightening. We won't dodge the difficult reality of actual danger. People have been hurt by strangers. You need only turn on the evening news to be aware that we are growing into fearful people, suspicious of strangers and outsiders." When we speak of the depth of hospitality, we are proposing something scary and radical. But it's worth the risk. Unless we find a way to open to others, we will grow ever more isolated and frightened. If we do not find and practice ways of hospitality, we will grow increasingly hostile. Hospitality is the answer to hostility. Jesus said to love your neighbor. Hospitality is how we do it. Hospitality, as explained in the Benedictine tradition, is not the tame hospitality of Martha Stewart dinner parties, but the real risk of opening our hearts to another. The stranger, the person who does not look like us or pray like us or even speak the same language. In a world where mass migration is a reality, we have to think about what that means for us. I chose the story of the selfish giant in The Time for All Ages, first of all, because it is one of my favorite stories of all time, and secondly, because it captures the essence of radical hospitality. It captures the notion of what it means to move outside one's comfort zone and to turn fear into love. It is also about the transformational power of generosity. The giant found that in giving, in letting the children into his life grew richer and more meaningful. All of our families, if we are not Native American, have immigrant roots. Some of our families came here voluntarily, and others were brought involuntarily through the slave trade. Others came because of economic reasons, as economic migrants, leaving the familiar for a chance to create a better life for themselves and for their children. At some point in history, all of our families at one point sought welcome. The welcome of immigrants at any time in the history of the U.S. has been sketchy. Despite the Emma Lazarus poem inscribed on the Statue of Liberty, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." Despite the diversity that has grown with those waves of immigration, there remains in some people's minds a narrative and mythology around what constitutes a real American. And around this mythology comes fear of the others who do not fit that ideal. This fear has changed over time. In the late 19th century, it was fear of the Irish, of the Italians, and the Eastern and Southern Europeans, Catholics and Jews. People from Asia or with Asian descent were not allowed to become naturalized citizens until the 1940s. The Immigration Act of 1925 virtually banned immigration of anyone with Asian descent. It was not until 1965, in the wake of the Civil Rights Movement, that the U.S. finally reformed its immigration policy to not discriminate based on race. This changed the demographic makeup of the U.S. as people from Asia, Africa, Central and South America poured in, making us one of the most ethnically diverse countries in the world. And that is a good thing It allows us to learn and grow. The authors of Radical Hospitality write, "When we create a life surrounded by people just like us, it is a very narrow life. We will not be challenged by such a life. We can cave in on ourselves. Our minds and spirits shrink to the pea size of our world. A spirituality centered in such a life will drift into laziness and complacency. It is a life that allows us to settle for easy answers based on personal experience, letting ourselves believe that our experience constitutes normality and that other ways of doing life are abnormal. This is delusional and dangerous. Indeed, most people afraid of immigrants are those who have never met immigrants, whose lives are lived in homogeneous environments. This mass movement of people is not going to stop. Rising sea levels and the desertification of certain areas of the planet are going to make them unlivable, and so people will move. We know this. Sekuta Mehta writes in his book, This Land is Our Land, of the ways in which immigrants can contribute to struggling economies. He tells the story of Schenectady, New York, an old industrial town in upstate New York. When industry left, so did most of its population. The mayor, struggling with what to do with his crumbling city, started inviting in Guyanese people living in Queens to visit the city and encourage them to settle there. Mehta writes, it cost the city $16,000 to demolish a home, and they found it was better policy to sell it to a Guyanese for $1 on the condition that they refurbish it. Schenectady now has a population of 10,000 Guyanese. They created a thriving local economy of small shops and restaurants. They now constitute 12% of the population of Schenectady. Schenectady now has a cricket league, and Guyanese members are on the city council. Not only was the new immigrant population not a drain on the economy, it enabled it to thrive. And I know this congregation worked on refugee resettlement, helping a family with all sorts of needs when they immigrated here. That is radical hospitality. Hospitality is the opposite of fear. It is a way of embracing and accepting change, new people, and cultures. And like the selfish giant, allowing our lives to grow richer. I was communicating with Barb this week. I asked her if I could share her story with you. She said, absolutely. The Interfaith Center for Healing and Action, which she eventually named her center, is thriving. They host interfaith dinners and yoga classes. They provide office space for pastoral counseling. Local clergy and religious leaders hold classes there. Barb finished her dissertation this past week, just one day before her 60th birthday, which she celebrated with all her boys. The two Afghan youth she is fostering are thriving also. They made honor roll at their high school and are the stars of their local soccer team. Her son has had the opportunity to teach them about American culture, and he has learned about theirs. All her boys are the lights of her life. It could have turned out differently. She took the risk of opening her home to strangers. She took the risk of radical hospitality. She took the risk to love. She took the risk to be home for all her boys. Not all of us can be Barb. I know I am not as brave as she is. We know we can either be afraid or we can risk radical hospitality. The choice is ours. We can all be home for someone. Amen, and blessed be.